everyone, welcome to 8-Bit Geeks 8-Bit Horror Fest. This is Movie Films with Bill and Steve. I'm Bill.
And I'm Steve.
Movies talk, so let's talk movies.
Let's talk those movies.
For this year's 8-Bit Horror Fest, I guess we're looking at origin films. We've been tasked, for some reason or another, maybe it's because we've reviewed this entire franchise before, and that will ultimately be our legacy.
Legacy. Oh, fucking triggered me.
We are looking at Puppet Master from 1989, from Full Moon Pictures, directed by David Schmoller. Psychics find themselves plotted against by a former colleague who committed suicide after discovering animated murderous puppets. Huh. It's one of those great IMDb synopses.
A great one. Although, great if we're one. Doing Origins, why are we not doing Retro Puppet Master?
Well, we were not asked to do that, by probably because the people that asked us to do this don't know the vast chronology of the Puppet Master franchise.
It's a very deep chronology. You need a, you know, the Zelda timeline? Eat my dick, Zelda timeline. You need a fucking compendium for the Puppet Master timeline.
Where's Dark Horse Publishing and their Puppet Master, a Toulon Historia?
Yeah, seriously.
Where's that at, fuckers? Tell me what happened to that Chinese puppet. I need to know.
Seriously! Where the fuck is that Chinese puppet? If I actually got hired to be the Full Moon social media guy, which I applied for and did not get because I guess they don't want me to make shit weird, I would have used a picture of that guy like every other fucking week.
Have you seen this puppet?
Have you seen this puppet?
Where's this puppet at? Gah! He's been gone since 1939.
Oh man, that's quite a timeline. I wonder who messed it up, Chinese puppet. Why is Toulon evil in the second movie? Chinese puppet is why.
Yeah, he's been the puppet master. Pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Pulling the strings.
All this time, we thought it was, you know, evil people and other dudes wanting to learn Toulon's secret. No.
Chinese
it was the
puppet.
Chinese!
Goddamn Chinese.
Well, you know, Red Dawn had some points.
Yep. So did Black Dynamite.
I mean the remake. That was supposed to be Chinese, not North Korea. But they changed it.
They changed it because of box office.
Because you can't say Chinese people are bad anymore.
Ever.
Ever again. this podcast is now sponsored by People's Republic of China. you know.
I thought we might get sponsored by the Great Leader.
We are sponsored by the Great Leader. The WAV files I'm looking at right now are all red, no longer blue. Well, no more beating around the bush. It's time to discuss Puppet Master. We've discussed this before in a little shorter details when we used to do a lot more movies per episode. So if you want to check, if you want to go back and listen to us discuss the whole franchise, you can go back to October of 2015, or is it 2016?
I don't fucking know. I tried to forget that time of my life.
Go back in the archives of the Movie Films of Bill and Steve podcast, and you can find it. But today we are going to just discuss Puppet Master. So Steve, what did you think of Puppet Master?
I still think that the first Puppet Master overall is a solid film. Mm-hmm. I do think that rewatching it now, after watching the entire franchise, I can see how the franchise has fallen, but also in a couple later films, what was improved upon it. You know, outside of Andre Toulon being evil for lazy fucking reasons because they didn't know what they were doing with the character at that point, mm-hmm. I can still safely say that Puppet Master 2 is a way better movie than Puppet Master 1. Whereas when we were first going through the film chronology, I thought Puppet Master 1 was better.
Yeah, I think that's pretty on point. I think the film, if it was just in a vacuum, I think is fine. It's the issue where, I keep wanting to say this word, it's hilarious. The legacy of the franchise is what hurts this film a lot because of things that happen after the fact.
Yeah, like I was saying to Bill, as I watched the opening scene with, you know, William Hickey. William Hickey being a sweet little Andre Toulon and then committing suicide, I can't not think about how the three Axis movies take place immediately after that scene.
Yes.
Like, those events are now there in the middle of this first movie.
Yep.
And I can't not think about that.
Well, yeah, it's just looking at the chronology.
I can't not think about the little ninja puppet that immediately gets born after this.
little ninja puppet, and then there was some other puppets that the Germans made that was a kamikaze puppet.
Where's werewolf puppet?
I mean, not only that, right? Supposedly Torch exists, but it's not in this film.
Yeah. Also, as you pointed out, how are we going to get the puppets back into this hotel? Back into the wall to be found in this film. And also, apparently, everyone figures out the immortality serum way better than Andre Toulon did. Because this guy just reads the diary, and then suddenly he's able to bring himself back to life, no problem. Whereas even in the sequel, Andre needs to build a body for himself.
And have, like, lots of brain pieces collected from people.
Yeah.
And all this such. I mean, looking at the chronology of the series at this point, Puppet Master is actually the sixth film in the series.
Yes, it is.
As how much they've tried to retroactively go backwards and try to fix things. As they looked at it and said, well, Puppet Master 3 was the best film we've ever made, so clearly the World War II setting is the setting we want to be at.
I mean, that would be fine if they were doing sequels to 3. You know?
But they aren't.
But they aren't.
Well, technically there are sequels to 3.
Yeah, but I mean direct sequels to 3 instead of people find the puppets before the events of the first film and they have their own adventures.
Yes. Even though 3 technically takes place after the opening events in the first film, because even when they made the third film, they didn't get the timeline right.
Yep.
So you go, whoops, we said that the Bodega Inn in the first film is in 1939, but we're setting the third film in 1941. Whoopsie!
Just ignore that.
Just ignore that.
Yeah, like, if they wanted to stay in the World War II setting, that would be fine if they were, like, making films leading up to Andre going to the hotel.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't do that.
Well, because we still never even got the film explaining what happened to Andre's original puppets from Retro Puppet Master.
We don't need that, Bill.
Because the wraparound segments for that film are him talking to the puppets while they're reined in and everything, saying, oh, you want to know who these things were? Well, I'll tell you the tale. Then Greg Sinistero... Greg Sestero, if I can say his name right, from The Room and such, is playing Andre Toulon, and it comes with the immortal catchphrase for movie films at this point, this is hell for We Are the Damned, which is honestly the best description of the Puppet Master franchise.
That should just be the tagline.
The quality mwah, is magnifique, let me tell you what.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's everything we can really discuss leading into the first film, like, chronology-wise. So let's just get into, like, what happens in the first film. And what happens in the first film is a lot of psychic people.
Why are they... Why did Charles Band... I want to meet who at Full Moon said, hey, you know what this movie should be about? Psychics. What? Was that just hip? Were they doing it to sell it? Like, I don't understand why they were all psychics. I like how they were portrayed. I kind of like the idea that, like, each psychic had their own talents as a psychic. And I also kind of liked that one of the psychics was actually making money as a fake psychic, even though she was a real psychic.
Well, Steve, you know, at this point in 89, I think the whole tropes of teenagers stumbling upon something was tired. I mean, no way they do that in the second film, but in this film, we have to have like 40-something year-old people just having hot sex.
I mean, I can appreciate that they aren't just teens and that they're adults, but I feel like the plot could have easily have just instead been this guy figures out immortality, becomes immortal, invites all of his old friends there with the plan of murdering them and then bringing them back to life, but you know, that's not necessarily a good thing because they're getting murdered.
Yeah.
As opposed to this, oh, you're psychic, so eventually you would have figured out that I'm immortal, and that's a problem for some reason.
Yeah, the plot of this film is kind of weak when you start to really wonder why Gallagher brought these people here.
I also appreciate how quick the puppets are to shift sides for really no fucking reason. A, I don't know why they're listening to Gallagher. I mean, you can go with the idea of, like, oh, he brought them back to life, so he's the Puppet Master, so for some reason they listen to him. That's still weak as fuck on its own, especially because they show in the same exact film that they aren't necessarily that evil. But they murder people throughout it, and then they get really annoyed when he hits a lady after they murder three ladies.
Well, I think they get more annoyed that he's this fleeing Jester around, who had not really been seen since the beginning of the film.
Oh, that was the first thing, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, he hits Jester, so they're like, oh, fuck this guy. But then when he slaps What's-Her-Face, then they cut to them again going like, oh, this guy's an asshole. Like, really? You just figured that out?
you just murdered all these other people who were actually, you know, overall pretty nice people that weren't doing anything bad.
Yeah.
For some reason. For some reason they got killed. I don't know why. It's because it's a film. It's a horror film. You gotta kill people. It doesn't matter in the finale that you unravel everything and nothing really makes sense or matters anymore.
No.
Yeah, these cool puppets kill people. Yeah, that's what you want, right?
And again, when it comes to the chronology, after watching Puppet Master 3 and imagining that these were just innocent people that were killed by Nazis now being horrible murderers.
I know. It's like when
especially Blade, like...
No, especially when Leech Woman is killing Frank, it's like, oh, that's Toulon's wife who's all macking on this dude's nipples and then dumping leeches onto him.
Yep.
This guy didn't do anything wrong.
Hey, Andre's dead. Leech Woman can't wait forever. She's got to move on. For some reason, Andre can never make himself live forever. Until, I mean, you know, some kid built him a little sweet robot body with in a trench coat.
What was it? Headmatron or something?
It was something really bad. The name was.
Really bad.
The name was. I was, as much as I would make fun of the design, it worked okay, but man, oh god, that name.
Decapitron, that's what it was.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because Decapitron.
That's even worse than I remember.
Because Decapitron was supposed to be its own movie thing.
Yes.
But that movie didn't get off the ground, so they just took all the elements of pre-production and the models and all the stuff they did and just dumped it into Puppet Master 4.
Hey, I respect that on its own. Just change the fucking name.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I've taken old scripts when I was younger that never got made, but it was just like, oh, this was a good idea, and just use that idea. Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I appreciate how useless Leech Woman is. Like, I mean, that's throughout the entire series, but at least in, like, even, like, the newer films, they at least give her, like, a little knife, so at least she can get stabby.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's like, okay, I'm only useful if someone is held down for, like, 17 minutes, and then I can get, like, 2 leeches onto them. Will that kill them? Well, no, but it'll hurt a little.
Well, no, apparently if you just put, like, 6 leeches on somebody, it kills them.
Yeah. I think they retconned it to say that they're, like, poison leeches or something.
Yeah.
But it's still weird. Where do they come from?
Magic. The thing with the bulletproof, you know, answer for this series is just magic.
It is magic. That is fair.
Yeah. I mean, everyone else has, you know, I guess you could say the same thing. Like, how does Torch keep having fuel for his flamethrower?
He does what the director says.
Gets paid. There's a Puppet Master 2 reference for you guys. Go watch that film. Watch Torch kill a child.
It was pretty great. And it's a great impersonation of Charles Band as a director.
I'm the director, do as I say.
Whip. I'll use that for myself, too.
That's true. And then one of your co-stars and actors or whatever just turn around and flamethrower you.
Yes.
And you know, you had it coming. Jerk.
Jerk. Oh man, this is a weird movie to talk about now after like rewatching every single fucking film in the franchise.
Well, this is what they wanted us to do, clearly, because why would you ask us to review a film after we watched all fucking other like 11 goddamn films?
Oh, maybe next year we'll watch the films in chronological order.
I don't want to watch Retro Puppet Master again.
Well,
I don't want to watch Puppet Master the Legacy again. I don't want to watch most of these movies again. It should have just been like, hey, you guys want to watch Puppet Master 3? Absolutely do I want to watch Puppet Master 3.
Fuck yes!
But
all right, let's get back to talking about the events of the film, Bill. Sorry, we kind of got off on another tangent of pain and misery.
What do they want? What do you want me to talk about? How Alex is like this beta cuck new male who can't do fucking shit in the entire film except have premonition dreams. Like, something's going to happen to Megan. I got to save her. You didn't do shit.
Yeah, you didn't do a damn thing.
You got slapped around by a dead man.
Yeah, I like how his premonition dreams are useless. Completely useless.
Yeah, it's like something bad's going to happen.
Ooh. Okay, great. I dreamt that the leeches were on me. If only there was some way to use this information.
If only. That's the one funny thing. If you've seen the film, rewatching the film, you can pick up on stuff. I really appreciate how everyone pretty much predicts how they're going to die.
Yes.
And it's pretty accurate. Like, Dana, who's the best character in the film,
I fucking love Dana.
Tells the maid, like, hey, stay away from fireplaces.
Yep.
And she doesn't listen, because then Pinhead comes and kills her.
Yeah, I wish Dana was in more of the movie. I wish Dana was the protagonist instead.
Yeah. Dana's the best character in the film.
She's the best character in the film. I like her dog. I like the idea that we live in this universe that there clearly is supernatural things that exist. You know, there's magic, you know, Toulons, like puppets, what have you, you know, the whole Egyptian magic thing, as well as psychic powers and what have you. But I also like that in addition to that, there are also fake things that don't work that people believe in, like those candles and stuff.
Yeah.
Or what she's doing to, like, get the evil out of the room and what have you clearly doesn't fucking work. It's just, that's just an interesting idea to me, that even in a world where, like, magic exists, not everything is actually fucking magic. There's still bullshit.
Well, maybe it
bullshit.
Was magic, because there weren't evil spirits coming to attack her. They were just, you know, puppets.
I mean, maybe, too. You're not wrong.
She didn't cast the puppet warding spell.
You're right. You're totally right. My bad.
In the finale of the film, when Teresa, the maid, just comes back to life as, like, an undead zombie attacking Alex and Megan, what happens to her?
She disappears and is never seen again, just like the dude's wife. Apparently also masters the Andre Toulon formula to bring a dog back to life who was stuffed years ago, but is never seen again. And apparently donates all the puppets to a museum, because that's where they're found in Curse of Puppet Master.
Yep. So did the puppets, or did Neil Gallagher drag all those bodies and light all those candles in that room?
I assume it was Gallagher.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm going to get them real good.
I'm going to spook them.
I'm going to spook them real good. I've said this before when we reviewed this last time. This film has probably, this is a funny line to say, this has the funniest rape scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Yes.
When Carissa is doing her weird, like, psychometry or whatever the fuck it is, where you can tell the history of objects by touching them, and she's in the elevator, she's like, oh, there was a rapier.
And I like her acting for that.
Yeah.
Like, I appreciate that she's acting like she's feeling the pain, she's talking about how horrible it was. However, go, Bill.
The flashback scene is Gallagher tearing this girl's dress, and then it's, like, framed right on his face while he's screaming, like, ugh! It is ludicrously awesome. It's like, the whole point you're supposed to evoke here is, like, some sort of horror, but I'm just laughing. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then that's...
They should put that tagline on the box. Has the funniest rape scene I've ever seen.
Yeah. Not since I Spit in Your Grave has there been such a reactionary rape scene. just on the different end of the spectrum.
From
being horrified to laughing out loud. As he turns into the Hulk.
I liked when the past psychic, I forget all the names, it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I like when she falls in the bed and just keeps on saying movie stars stayed here and was having orgasms because they fucked. And I just like the fact that she kept saying movie stars as if that matters.
Yeah,
and then finally she says their names, but I wish she would have just said their names initially. But clearly Charles Band did not trust people to understand who those people were. So she had to say movie stars like 7 times.
Who the fuck is Clark Gable?
Right.
I really like the dynamics between Frank and Carissa, because Frank just seems really done with her sometimes.
Yes, I love them. I love their chemistry together. They're clearly a couple that have been together for a while, mm-hmm. and they do clearly love each other, but they've also been together long enough that, like, as you said, there's times when he's just done with her shit.
Yeah, apparently they've done lots of, like, over 500 sexual experimentations.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that scene, too. They're getting ready to have sex and do their experiment to try to connect into this weird psychic wavelength to find out what happened to Neil Gallagher. And he's, like, talking to the tape recorder, like, you know, this experiment such and such. And he has, like, addendum for, like, transcription and all this stuff. I don't know. Little touches like that, I'm like, I kind of chuckle at.
There's good character touches for this for everyone, I will say. Mm-hmm. Even Alex.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is, he's the character he's there to be. This, you know, dude that's just really ineffective and stuff. But there's nothing wrong with having that.
Yeah.
Because I think it puts more importance on the fact that the puppets are kind of, I don't know, both the saviors and the destroyers, where they kill everybody, but at the end of the day, they're the ones that stop Neil Gallagher. And even when Neil's being killed, Alex still has some sort of...
Tries to save him.
Tries to save him. Like, hey, no, what... It's such a... That's... It can be seen as weird, but at the same time, I think that speaks to how, I don't know, like...
I mean, it speaks to his humanity.
Humanity, there's the word. I was going to say righteousness, but that's not quite right. Of just how Alex is still a person and still has emotions and regrets about what's happening, even though 5 minutes earlier, Neil Gallagher's just, like, slapping the shit out of him.
Yeah. Punching him to death, I guess.
I suppose. I suppose that's happening. Favorite line in the film comes from Dana when they're having dinner. It's like a little sauce, and Dana gets all cynical. Like, I'm not a cynic. I prefer to think of myself as a nasty bitch. Oh, such Dana. A funny line. Dana's the best.
I love her accent. She is very attractive.
She
asks Alex if he wants to fuck, and he's a little bitch, and is just like, no, you're too much of a woman for me.
Clearly. And Dana's the best, because she's the only character in this film that actually can fend off the puppets.
Yeah. Aside from Gallagher himself, who has super Toulon powers.
Super Toulon powers, super Egyptian undead powers.
But aside from that, she's the only one that is, like, handling the puppets in a realistic way that you would assume. Picking them up, throwing them.
Yeah, when Pinhead comes to attack her, she's, like, crawling, throws him down a flight of stairs, crawls the elevator,
yeah.
Like, fends off a Blade and all this other stuff. Like, she actually puts up a pretty decent fight.
Hell yeah.
And then it gets punched in the head by Pinhead.
To death.
And then gets her throat slit. Really, thanks, Pinhead. Thanks, that cool cab guy that Toulon was friends with
yeah.
in the 40s.
I'm really happy that you punched this defenseless woman in the face a lot.
Thanks, Blade, the guy who was...
who hated the Nazis.
Yeah, and did everything that had to help Toulon, and then got killed, and so Toulon brought it back to life to exact revenge.
On, you know, southern redheaded psychics.
Yeah.
Jesus. I appreciate that Gallagher just took Pinheads off and then threw them away. And, like, I appreciate that it didn't work long term, but I just liked that.
It's like, I am the puppet master. Boop. Like, little sound effect.
Oh, the boop was great. There's like, two or three very subtle sound effects that, like, in real life wouldn't exist, but super work for the movie. And I don't remember what the other ones are, but when I heard them, I was like, I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's so good.
It was good editing in the movie. It's well shot.
It is well shot. And there's lots of the POV shot at the beginning of the film, and Blade is running around the Bodega Inn. I don't know. They never really established what he's doing out there, but he's running out there. He finds the Gestapo. Then this is the kind of like POV shot adventure as he's running through the inn and stuff.
I do think they overuse the POV a bit in the later parts of the film, and that's clearly because they didn't want to budget or take the time to animate the puppets every single time.
No.
But there's just a couple points where I feel it's a little overused, that's all.
Little bit, but
just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit.
The stop motion scenes we do get are very, very good.
I don't know if they're as good as the Axis films, Bill.
I know you jest, but
In the latest Axis film, where in the trailer you can clearly see just a dude wearing a Blade costume in front of a green screen moving around.
Yep. Or you can almost just see hands holding stuff. There is great craft and care in the early Puppet Master films through puppeteering and stop motion. I mean, the shots of Blade when he's attacking Dana in the elevator took five people to work, like two people around the arms, and then different pneumatic stuff for his face and things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work going on there. And David Allen, who's doing the special effects and stop motion work, who I believe got an Academy Award nomination later in his career. Like, he was a very, you know, credited and successful special effects guy. I'm glad now Full Moon is just, you know, doing garbage. So that's cool. They used a little person's hands for Pinhead, who is a little person stump person. That was some interesting stuff. I always gave a good look when Pinhead was grabbing people, like, yeah, these real hands grabbing people, not just, I don't know, plastic hands looking hilarious trying to throttle somebody.
No, it was a really good decision.
It was. Just, I mean, all decisions when it came to the puppets were all very solid. The designs are so distinct and iconic between, you know, Blade, Pinhead, even Jester, Tunneler, and then Bleach Woman. That was all the puppets we got in this film.
They're the main five.
The main five, who...
Until the Green Ranger Torch showed up.
Yes, and then he disappeared again, because they quickly realized, we can't
have
this.
He left
this
communicator in the locker, Bill. But yes, he's too OP.
Yeah, Torch is the Torch and Decapitron are the most powerful puppets.
I would say followed by Six Shooter, since his guns are tiny, but yet they are full 45 caliber fucking bullets, apparently.
That's another character missing from the chest in this film, is Six Shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes his first appearance in three, but then for some reason just isn't around anymore.
He's still sleeping.
He's still taking a nap. But that's okay. I mean, like, all the Decapitron parts no one finds until four.
Yeah.
There's hidden in some, like, apparently some drawer on Andre Toulon's chest trunk thing. I know we keep going back to the chronology of these series, but it's always just ludicrously complicated and how they try to just keep adding stuff in. I don't know. I think there's more tactful ways of doing it.
Yes.
And they just didn't do that.
No, they clearly kind of shit on their franchise.
It's every film.
Yep.
Every film after, I'd say after 5.
Yeah, I'd say that. Because while I do feel the 4 and 5 have a bit of a drop-off, there's still some care there, and they're still solid films overall, even though I'm not a big fan of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I'm more so not a big fan of 5, because the characters in 4 are way better.
They are, because 5 is supposed to be kind of a sequel to 4.
I still stand by that if 4 and 5 was hypercut as, like, a 2-hour-long movie, it would be my favorite in the franchise.
Well, you know, 5 is supposed to be the final chapter, Steve.
Well, then Cursed was a prequel, apparently.
Well, you know, you gotta...
That they didn't really reference at all in the film itself.
Nope.
Didn't even give a year in the film.
Nope.
Seems like they just pulled that out of their ass, Bill.
They did. You know, Curse takes place directly after the first film.
And I don't understand how.
Well, you know, that's just how it works. Trying to think if there's any other major positives or anything of the first film that we can discuss about... pretty good gore effects. There's some decent amount of tits in the film. Not a lot, which is surprising.
Yeah, they were reserved. I appreciated it.
Pretty reserved, yeah. Even the sex scene between Frank and Carissa, it's just she's wearing the negligee there, and you're just not even seeing much tits on there either. You're just seeing her do some, you know, Cinemax softcore level grinding.
Yeah.
On a dude with a weird little ponytail. Feathered hair on Alex, little shitty fucking ponytail on Frank. You know, oh, the male hairstyles... of the late 80s. They're never going to go out of style. They're popular to this day. Never going to age. Never. They're ageless, as they would say.
Yeah. I like the music of the film.
Yeah, the music is good. And it obviously it stuck around for the entire franchise.
The theme is a solid theme. And, you know, there's a reason why they kept using it throughout the film franchise. They have a better... They understand that a theme is important to setting the tone of a franchise and keeping the signature of the franchise together than Marvel does. Which, you know, changes their film's themes between every single fucking movie.
It can't be a movie review for us unless we do some sort of a subtle dig at the Marvel Cinematic
Universe.
Yes,
absolutely. And also, don't forget, Rey does not deserve a figure in the Monopoly game board.
No, she doesn't.
No.
The stupid Mary Sue garbage. How does she even know to use a lightsaber just by picking it up? What's that stupid?
Oh, God.
She just can't immediately do everything right.
What about Anakin?
Shut up, Metachlorians.
What about Luke?
He went to Dagobah.
For, like, a week?
He used to snipe rats in his T-60.
This is where you just call me a cuck and end the discussion.
Yeah, you bait a cuck. Why don't you go back to your snowflake tumbler? I'm going to stay on Puppet Master Universe 65. Geocities.com. check out my blog where I talk about in depth on my slash fiction about Jack Death from Trancers showing up.
What the fuck is happening, Bill?
That's fine. I don't think I got the right character name for Tim Thomerson from Trancers. I think Jack Death was Dawman. Trancers. I was right! Yeah! Jack Death is the lead character of Trancers.
Good job, buddy. You did it.
We could talk about Full Moon Pictures a little bit here, since, you know, I don't know how much more ground we can talk about Puppet Master, but Full Moon is just as important in the discussion of Puppet Master as is just the franchise of Puppet Master.
Agreed.
Full Moon came out of Empire Pictures going bankrupt, because Charles Band had the idea that we're going to release 1,000 movies by the year 2000.
Okay.
You dumb son of a bitch.
I don't know why you did that.
No, this film's didn't do too well. So then, I mean, Puppet Master was originally supposed to be a theatrically released film, but it was dumped over to VHS because a band was seeing the VHS boom going on, and obviously that was a better avenue to go. I don't think this film would have made nearly as much of an impact, both financially and pop culturally, if it was a theatrically released film.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, it did so well because, I think, of sci-fi and cable networks playing it so often.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, growing up, I feel pretty sure that this was a staple of Cinemax and HBO and those type of premium cable channels.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely saw this film a lot through those avenues.
Yes.
And then through the video store, you know, rented the other films as they came out.
Mm-hmm.
As we talking a little about my history with the franchise and see if we can do the same. Like, this was a series that every time, because the new films are coming out into the 90s and stuff, obviously. So every time a new one come out, even when I was, you know, I was younger, I would still rent them. And it wasn't until Retro Puppet Master came out. I rented that and watched it. No, sorry. Curse of Puppet Master. Curse of the Puppet Master was the one that I was like, okay, I think we're done
here. I think I was exactly the same, actually.
Yeah, it was one of the two. Yeah, because that was in 98. That's right. That was the one where I was pretty much done with the series. No. Actually, it was Retro Puppet Master. I'm sorry. I got my timeline to make
sense. I remember seeing all the ads for Retro, but even as a kid, I remember vividly choosing not to watch it because of Curse.
Yeah. Curse wasn't very good.
No, it wasn't.
Well, without just trying to run overly long here, I think that about wraps up all of our thoughts on Puppet Master and the franchise. Maybe we can end here with our star ratings on Puppet Master. Steve, what would you give Puppet Master?
I want to just give it a star rating based on a vacuum, but I can't.
Try your best.
If I'm looking at it from a vacuum, I give it a 4 out of 5. If I, without that, with everything else going on in my brain, it's more like a 3.
Yeah, I think even in a vacuum, I think it still straddles that 3, 3.5. Like, I think 3.5 is where I definitely would sit it at in a vacuum. Because while the stuff afterwards and stuff before it kind of hurts this film and for is like its history and what it should be going on in it, the movie itself, it moves pretty well and has pretty likable characters and stuff like that. But as far as like the titular puppets, you know, being like the quote unquote villains of the film, they don't show up a lot. And you're just spending a lot of time watching these people wander around this empty hotel they're shooting in.
Yeah, the one floor clearly as well.
Yeah, and all that type of stuff. And so you're not really getting a whole lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels like a horror film released to VHS in the late 80s, where it's just kind of like, you know, it's meant to get sales. It's good cover art, give you a couple little bits here and there to keep kind of thirsty for more, but doesn't really have a whole lot of substance in that regard.
Right.
You'd definitely get a lot more in the second film and a ton more when it came to the third film. So if I was going to definitely recommend a film to watch in this franchise, really, I mostly always tell everyone that the first three are the only ones you need to watch, but if there's only one that you need to watch, watch the Puppet Master 3.
Yeah, absolutely. No question.
It's set in the Germany in the 40s. It has Andre Toulon just killing Nazis. It's probably the best film David Dakota ever directed.
Agreed.
Before he basically devolved into this 1313 series where he has like just 18-year-old half-naked hot boys coming over to his house in Malibu and filming them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we come for recommendations. I guess about time to wrap it up here. If you guys want to find us, you know, you enjoyed this little review, you enjoyed the mess that it fucking was, you can come over and check out the rest of our messes over at moviefilmsbillandsteve.tumblr.com. All of our episodes are listed there. It's super nice and convenient. You can also email us if you have some thoughts about what we discussed and you had some insights. Or you want to tell us your favorite Puppet Master films, please email us at moviefilmsbillandsteve@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and iTunes. You know, the usual stuff. Just look us up, Movie Films Bill and Steve. Give us a like. Leave a message saying 8-Bit Geek sent you. That way we can know that this whole cross-promotional stuff works. Because I love doing this. I want to get some likes. Give me some likes, motherfuckers.
Like it.
I'm going to insult you to your face, because that negativity drives business, Steve. That's what I've learned through the internet.
Okay, we have to be negative.
Okay. Here's a negative comment. Puppet Master Legacy is a good movie.
I can't believe you've done this.
I'm inverting it. I'm putting negativity on its head. The people are going to see that, like, that's a negative comment, because that is not what you're supposed to be saying.
Batman v Superman is the greatest superhero film ever made. If you want to tell us how wrong we are, you got to comment on the Facebook page and email us.
Yeah, please do that. And also on iTunes, look us up, subscribe, they never miss an episode. We produce weekly content. We've only ever missed 1 week. That's because Steve was moving and shit got weird. But other than that, for our past going on 3 years of doing this podcast, we've never missed a weekly content update. So you can always be sure that you're going to get something to listen to while you're at work trying not to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And we're also on Stitcher. Find us on their website and their mobile app. And I am on Twitter at LovableBill.
And you can check out my film, SilverSpotlightFilms.com, Facebook.com/SilverSpotlightFilms, CarousHell.com to pick up an awesome, awesome horror comedy movie. And, of course, you can check me out being a superhero making kids happy by going to Facebook.com/TheAmazingSpiderSteve.
Watch Basic Slaughter.
No.
Watch that.
Don't do that.
Please do that. Get on Amazon Prime and watch Super Task Force 1.
Yes, do that. Please do that.
Because Steve makes the most money off that.
I really do make the most money off that. Thank you, Amazon Prime. I can't wait to get Red Christmas on Prime. Gonna put it up next week.
Yeah, get it on there. Make that hot money.
Hot money.
Well, as always, guys, I've been Bill.
And I have been Steve.
Your husband was a despicable, greedy bastard.